Hello, good afternoon. How are y'all doing? Good. So I am Dr. Robin Armstrong from the great state of Texas. Yay. All right. I live in Friendswood, Texas in the Galveston County area, and I've been practicing medicine for 20 years. I'm a hospitalist, and so I take care of patients in the hospital, and I also take care of patients in nursing homes as well. And so, you know, how many of you know that the elderly are one of our most valuable assets in society right now? You know, they have wisdom in their years, and they've sacrificed for us. They've worked for our benefit, and they've built this great nation that we live in today. But more importantly, you know, our elderly show us what we are to become. And it brings us face to face with our own mortality. And when we watch our parents who raised us become weaker and frail, it has an impact on us. How we treat them is how we will be treated. I've always said that, and I said this earlier today as well, that the trajectory of our nation or of a nation is determined by how we treat the very young and how we treat the very old. We have to take care of our elderly. It is our moral responsibility. Protecting them during a COVID-19 pandemic should have been our first priority. On April 4th, 2020, we had an outbreak. This was during the beginning of the pandemic, in late March, early April. We had an outbreak in a nursing home where I'm the medical director, the Resort Texas City in Texas City, Texas. We had an outbreak where 31 staff members and 55 residents of that nursing home were infected with COVID-19. So this was a shock to all of us. And this had come on the heels of what had happened in Washington State, where they had 30 people die in their nursing facility. We heard of tragedies that were taking place in Louisiana and all over the country, all over the world. And this scared us, obviously. And so we thought that rather than send them out to the hospital, where we know the mortality rate is very high for elderly patients in the hospital, and rather than keep them there and do nothing until they got so sick that they would die in the hospital eventually, what we did was we decided that we would treat them there. You know, we were just really naive, pretty much. I mean, we were like, well, you know, we had seen some studies in China, seen some studies in France, and we thought this three-drug combination of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc, it was working for some patients over there. It was not big studies, but we saw that it might work. And so that's what we did. Out of the 39 patients that we treated, we saved all but one from COVID-19. Now, this result defied the narrative that the healthcare establishment was pushing out that early treatment did not work. Clearly, early treatment does work, and we actually show that in our small example. And if this vulnerable, elderly, sick population could survive COVID-19 with early treatment, then anyone could survive COVID-19 with early treatment. And what I found out later, you know, I was very naive. We were attacked mercilessly. There was actually a story in Rolling Stone magazine. They literally had a picture of me holding the hydroxychloroquine bottle in Rolling Stone magazine, did a big article attacking us. I was in the Washington Post, all these different articles. NPR ran a big article. It was absolutely amazing. And I was naive as to why this was all happening. What I figured out later, that they had to prevent that story from getting out because they needed people to fear this pandemic. They needed people to fear it. And without that fear, they were not going to be able to overturn our voting laws, change our voting laws. They were not going to be able to lock down our churches. They were not going to be able to lock down our schools. They were not going to be able to empower themselves to the point that they have now. In many ways, they were successful in shutting that story down. Big government, big tech, and big business are an unholy alliance that is working together to destroy early treatment. and to promote vaccinating 7 billion people on earth. That is their plan. Our elderly citizens deserve more, and we should work hard to make sure that they are protected. 80% of all Americans killed by COVID-19 have been over the age of 65. These large percentages of folks had comorbid conditions such as hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease, which places them at higher risk. 95% of the deaths from COVID-19 are over the age of 50. Of 596,740 reported deaths from COVID between January 2020 and July 2021, 177,322 have been adults over the age of 85. That's roughly 30% of the deaths. Nearly one-third of all deaths in the U.S. have been in nursing home patients. COVID has disproportionately affected our nursing home residents and our elderly citizens. So how do we protect them? Now, a lot of these solutions, I don't think are something that's going to be earth-shattering to you, but I think it's important to just list them because we haven't been doing this. This is stuff that we should have been doing from the very beginning. Disinfecting and hand sanitizing. That's pretty easy. Washing your hands. Sanitizing your workspaces and living spaces. That's important. Being very sensitive to symptoms that you're having, such as fevers and chills, runny nose, cough, shortness of breath. If you're having these symptoms, stay away from your elderly loved one until you're recovered. Allow for outdoor activities with family members visiting their loved ones. Locking down the elderly in their rooms has been cruel. It's been absolutely cruel. I've seen this firsthand. You know, when we were there rounding, and so we rounded on these patients every day. We literally set up a MASH unit in our nursing facility. It's two doctors, myself and another doctor. There was a nurse practitioner and a rounding nurse that we had with us rounding there every day. How many of you know most nursing homes aren't staffed that way? And so we rounded on them every day. We set up a MASH unit in our nursing facility. And we had, you know, we had great success. We had great success with that. And so we were able to follow them closely and monitor them and make sure that they would pull through this. But family members, so when I talked to those patients, what I would gather a lot of times is that we were the only people that were seeing them. So I would see them every single day and talk to them every single day, and they were like, Dr. Armstrong, can I go back to my room, my normal room? Because we were shuffling patients around the whole time because you had COVID hallways and someone would test positive and you'd have to move them to the COVID hallway. Dr. Armstrong, can I go to my room? Dr. Armstrong, can I see my family? I was the only person seeing them for all this throughout this whole time. And that's a shame. Lockdowns have not worked. We could have had patients and visiting with their families early on in this pandemic. We could have done that in April, had them visit outdoors, and that should have been going on, and that should be happening today. We need to closely monitor healthcare workers in nursing homes and other post-acute facilities with temperature checks, and I think they should have questionnaires. I think this is a reminder to people of what's going on. I think there's a lot of healthcare workers that are very well-meaning. Every outbreak in every nursing home that I have seen has been from a healthcare worker bringing it into the nursing facility. It's not started with the patients. It's not started with anything. It's been the healthcare worker. Not started with families visiting even. It started with healthcare workers coming in. So I think there has to be a constant reminder amongst those healthcare workers that listen, we're in a pandemic. We have to protect these residents. The death rate is just too high amongst our elderly. All of our personal protective equipment and all of our resources should have been for that population. I believe we shouldn't have had any lockdowns. We should have allowed everybody to just live their lives. One of the slides earlier said that people have made it worse. I think Peter McCullough said that the remedies, the treatments that we've provided for this pandemic has actually made the pandemic worse, has made the death rate worse. I believe that is so true. We should have allowed people to just live their lives, go out and live their lives, do their thing. We should have put all our resources, every bit of our resources, into our elderly and that elderly generation because they were the most affected by this. All our PPE equipment, all our resources should have gone toward our nursing facilities. The federal government, something that you probably don't think about, needs to increase payment to these nursing facilities as well. What I found is that these facilities are bearing the brunt, the financial brunt of a lot of the PPE costs, the care for these patients, the moving the patients around, the testing of the patients. They have to pay for a lot of this. Hospitals who were not completely shut down have made billions on billions of dollars from this COVID pandemic. And I work in one that was a COVID hub hospital, and they made a ton of money this year. COVID was actually good for their bottom line. But the nursing facilities, that's not the case. They're struggling financially right now because they have not been properly recompensed for the work that they've done. All resources should go to the nursing homes and post-acute facilities. I believe medical prophylaxis with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin is reasonable and just makes sense. From my perspective as a medical doctor, what I've always said is that, look, you know, let's assume I take your position with a lot of my doctor friends I'm arguing with about whether hydroxychloroquine works or whether ivermectin works. You know, let's say I'm going to give you the argument and say, okay, it does not work. Let's say it doesn't work. Okay, what is it going to hurt to give it to them? We're not doing anything for them now. And in my opinion, it helps. And a lot of studies that have come out now, it has helped. And a lot of the media is even putting out some stories that hydroxychloroquine has been effective. Ivermectin has been effective. And so I believe that medical prophylaxis is very reasonable and should take place. Certainly daily zinc, cholecalciferol, vitamin D, ascorbic acid, or vitamin C should be medications that are given routinely. What we did in our facility was we saw that these medications were effective overseas. We decided, you know, let's just try this and see if it's helpful, and it was helpful. In my opinion, what we did in the nursing facility should have been standard of care in every nursing home in this country. We did it very early. In fact, that's why people were so upset, because we actually were the first. I didn't realize this, but we were actually the first nursing home to employ that treatment on a large number of patients. First nursing home in the country. And so because of that, you know, obviously we got a lot of heat, but it should have been the standard of care. I actually was on the phone with the governor. I'm very involved politically, and the governor was calling me and asking me how are things going, and things going well with the patients. He was checking on what was happening there every day. We were having conversations and talking about it. We're talking to the lieutenant governor who helped arrange some of the medications I got. So we were keeping people abreast of what was going on, and with our goal of being, we should you know, write our observations up and send this out so that people could see what was happening and people could follow the protocol. Well, that never happened. The paper never got done. It's about 3/4 done right now. It never got sent out because we were attacked by the medical board here. It never got out because we were attacked by the news media. And so they actually stifled what we're trying to put out. What we found later is, I talked with a friend, Stella. She mentioned that, you know, the press doesn't care about papers anymore, and the doctors don't care about papers anymore. They are stuck on what they believe and stuck on what they think should happen. And so it doesn't matter. So we just kept treating patients and just ignoring them. God forbid one of our elderly loved ones contracts COVID-19. In my experience, again, they do well with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc. I would certainly start them on that with those medical vitamin supplements that they've been on. Prophylaxis and early treatment are the most important components to surviving this disease. And I'll say that again. And I'll say that to the camera as well. Prophylaxis and early treatment is the most important thing in surviving COVID-19. Prophylaxis and early treatment. Lastly, I would say for the most vulnerable population, it is the only population that we should even consider vaccinating. The only population. They are at very high risk. If you're going to consider for anybody, it should be that population solely. My mom is 75 years old right now. She's healthy. I have four boys that are in and out of her place all the time. I'm in and out of her place all the time because she cooks well. So she's 75, but she's healthy. So I would not recommend the vaccine for her. She's overweight. She's got hypertension. She better not see this or she's going to be mad. But I would not recommend the vaccine for her because she's healthy. You know, and so, but I would consider it in that small population where they're most vulnerable. We have an obligation and a responsibility to take care of the most vulnerable people among us. Matthew 25:40 says, in talking about helping and serving others, it says, and I quote, "And King Jesus, King, and the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." I believe that it is vitally important that we treat that most vulnerable population, that we protect them, and that we make sure that they can live another year so they can continue to be a blessing to us. Thank you very much. God bless you.